Josh Haston here, Israel Uncensored, on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com. It is Monday, the 17th of September, 2018, the 8th of Tishrei, 5779. And this is probably the hardest show that I've had to do here on the Land of Israel Network. As many of you have probably heard by now, a true hero of Israel was murdered yesterday, Ari Fold. Hashem Yukom Damo, may God avenge his blood, was stabbed to death by an Arab terrorist, a jihadist, at the Gush Etzion Junction yesterday morning while he went to shop, to do the grocery shopping for his family. Ari died a hero after he was stabbed. He turned and ran after the terrorist, firing at him so that the terrorist would be neutralized and he could not cause any other damage. Unfortunately, Ari succumbed to his wounds. We are in shock here in Gush Etzion and throughout Israel. Last night, a late night funeral, and I've never seen anything like this. I've never seen a funeral. We should never have to know a funeral of this size again. But there were literally thousands, I would guess 10,000 people from all over Israel, from all walks of life, IDF soldiers, Gush residents, people from all over, left, right, center, it didn't matter, to pay. They came to pay their respects to Ari. And I mentioned just a minute ago that he was a hero in his death and in his actions yesterday, but he didn't just become a hero yesterday. He was a hero throughout his 45 years of life, always spreading the beauty and his love for the Land of Israel for the world to see. And I know thousands and thousands were able to experience the beauty of the Land of Israel thanks to Ari Fold. There's a lot more I can say, and if you can hear it from my voice, this is not easy at all. So what I wanted to do, instead of focusing on his death and on yesterday's events and replaying what happened and getting into all of that, I wanted to just air the last interview I did with Ari. We've spoken before. I've interviewed him. He's interviewed me. It's a very small world here of Anglos who are part of the public diplomacy family of Anglos here in Israel who try to do good for Israel. And it's an even smaller world of those who try to defend the Jewish rights to live in Judea and Samaria. So everyone knows everyone. We all know everyone is doing amazing things together. And Ari was truly at the top. So again, instead of focusing on just the events of yesterday, I'm going to play a show here now that I filmed with Ari sitting in a beautiful cafe on a wonderful Jerusalem morning this past June, just outside the walls of the old city of Jerusalem. So here is that interview, and may his family be comforted, and may we no longer have these types of events and not know any more sorrow. May God bless his soul. May God bless his wife, his children, his family. And to everyone out there, I'm just going to leave you with this. As we approach Yom Kippur, Gemar Chatima Tova, may you be sealed in the book of life, and let's have a better year in 5779. Here's the interview with Ari. Josh Haston here, Israel Uncensored, Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com. It is Sunday, June the 3rd, the 20th of Sivan, 5778. Hope you're doing well in your part of the world. A lot has happened here in Israel since we spoke last week. There was a day during the week where Hamas launched dozens and dozens and dozens of rockets and mortar shells down on the people of southern Israel. And then it stopped for a few days, and then just last night, another salvo of rockets launched in the middle of the night, keeping the residents of the South awake, unfortunately. I am coming to you from Jerusalem here on a beautiful spring Sunday. Don't forget to get in touch with me during the week, Josh, at thelandofisrael.com. On Facebook, it's Joshua Haston. On Twitter, at Josh Haston. Now, normally when rockets strike, you would think that people would want to try to get out of that zone, the rocket zone, whether it's 10 kilometers or 15 or 20 away from Gaza. But my good friend Ari Fold, you probably have seen him on Facebook. He's an Israel Advocate International speaker, does a lot of amazing work for the people of Israel here in the Land of Israel. He did the opposite. He got in his car and he went down to Sderot and some of the communities there on the border of Gaza to bring you back the images, the videos, the pictures, to tell the real story of what was going on down there. If you haven't seen his videos, go to Facebook and look up Ari Fold. Look up the Ari Fold Defense page. Israel Defense page, and check out his videos from this past week in Sderot. And you can learn all about the situation and what happened down there, what it's like to have to run for your life with those 15 seconds. We always talk about 15 seconds till the rockets hit. And with those mortars, you don't even have 15 seconds. So go back and check out his videos. Really tells a story that you're not getting in the mainstream media about the reality of life under fire. We're talking about generations of children growing up with this reality. Sometimes there are a lot of rockets, sometimes there are a few rockets. But ever since 2000, essentially, there have been rockets down in southern Israel, of course, spiking when Israel pulled out in 2005 unilaterally and took every last Jew, including the bodies, dug up the bodies and took them out of Gaza. So without further ado, from this beautiful afternoon here, right outside the walls of the old city of Jerusalem, Ari Fold, welcome to Israel Uncensored on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com.
Thank you, Josh. It's awesome to be here. We're having a little brunch here by looking over the old city walls. Truly a miraculous place to be. So I'm really happy to be here and great to be on your show.
Thanks so much. And any background noise you might hear, I mean, this is the natural life of Jerusalem. You may hear some buses passing, a lot of tourists I see, a lot of tour groups. We're here at a cafe, so you may get some background noise, but hopefully that'll just give you a feel. You can hear the spoons clinking, and here at Aroma Cafe, you hear people, their names being announced. I hope that's not a distraction to you, but this is life in Jerusalem, a beautiful, beautiful life in Jerusalem. Ari, last, I believe it was it Tuesday or Wednesday when we had over 100 alarms down in the southern region of Israel, rockets falling every few minutes. You got in your car and went down there. What was your goal of going down to southern Israel with the mortars and rockets flying?
So I know maybe it doesn't sound like it makes too much sense, but the truth of the matter is in the morning I heard about the kindergarten that was hit. And as soon as I heard of that, I was just sick and tired of watching the news, even the Israeli news, and seeing all the stories about the side of Gaza. They're being hit, this and that, and pictures. Nobody's showing our side. And a mortar hit a kindergarten. Jewish kids who are coming to enjoy their day, and the 100 alarms didn't sound yet. It was just the beginning. I said, I got to go down, number one, to support the people there and tell them that there are people who are thinking about them all over the world. I have to go down to show the real picture. Nobody's getting it. So I got in my car, and the truth of the matter is I went to one of my neighbors where I live, and I said, hey, I'm going back down to Gaza. You want to send anything? So here's some money. Go buy some cakes. So I went to the bakery, first Gary's coffee house in Efrat. I said, Gary, I'm going down to Gaza. Here's some money. Give me some cakes. He goes, don't give me money. I'm giving you cakes. Then I went to Chiffon. Same thing. No money. Here are the cakes. I ended up with my car packed with cakes. Gary gave me a full tray of cupcakes specifically for the children in that kindergarten. And my goal was twofold. Number one is I was going down to show support for the people that were not hearing from anyone. And number two is I had to give the real picture to the people in the world, and they're just not getting the picture from down there.
So this started at exactly 7 a.m. in the morning. I remember getting that first Tzev Adom. A lot of people have that application on their phones. Tzev Adom, cone red. You know the rocket's incoming. 7 a.m. If, God forbid, that rocket would have started, or that rocket would have hit that kindergarten an hour later, half an hour later, we could be talking about a mega, mega tragedy of unscaled proportions here in Israel. So thank God that didn't happen. But that was a miracle within itself.
So I just want to correct one small thing. 6:59, the rocket started being shot. It was 7:30 that the rocket hit the kindergarten. So we're talking about a difference of 20 minutes. If there would have been 20 minutes later, we would have had a real tragedy. And by the way, when I went down there, I went to the kindergarten and expected, you know, the kindergarten teachers to say, hi, listen, it's closed. I get down there and the kids are playing inside the kindergarten. They all came to school. And so I said, listen, I'm shocked, but I'm here from, you know, Gush Etzion, and we have some cupcakes for the kids, and they were really, the teachers were shocked to see me, but the kids were all inside. And the sad thing is, is that this kindergarten is built inside a bomb shelter. Their kindergarten is a bomb shelter. It's fortified walls, and the walls were covered with shrapnel plots. It was unbelievable. 20 minutes later, if this would have happened 20 minutes later, by the way, we would have had full open war, which I really don't like that people get hurt for that to happen, but we would have had a huge tragedy in our hands. So really, thank God it happened when it did.
Yeah, these rockets and missiles are packed with ball bearings. They're packed with all kinds of nasty things inside of them to try to cause, you know, the Hamas leader a few weeks ago said, we are going to rip the organs out of the Jews in Israel. And this is what they meant. This is exactly what he said. And Hamas, you know, you have Fatah, and I've said this to people who listen to my show for years. Fatah, they're a bunch of liars. Okay, they claim they want peace, and then they stab Israel in the back. Hamas is open about their goals. Their goals, as they said, their leader said during this so-called Great March, this terror march trying to infiltrate the borders of Israel, their leader said, we will rip the organs out of the Israelis. And then you have, just a few days later, you have rockets and missiles and mortar shells filled with ball bearings trying to literally puncture the lungs and organs of children in the state of Israel because they're Jews.
So I just want to add something. People don't know. You said they're liars. Fatah are not liars. They tell the truth. We just don't listen.
Well, they tell the truth in Arabic, but not in English.
So exactly. The word Fatah, by the way, comes from the 38th chapter of the Quran. It's Fath. And it's talking about the time where they made a treaty with the people in Mecca. When people in Mecca accepted the treaty, then the Muslims went and ransacked and killed all the people there. So they're not lying. We're just not listening. You know what I'm saying? But I just want you to know, by the way, that shrapnel that you're talking about, I had one blow through my vest in Lebanon. And again, in a kindergarten, it's evil. It's pure evil. And I'll say to the rest of the world, whether you're Jewish, Christian, Muslim, Buddhist, or anything else, if you are standing with those who are standing against Israel, this has nothing to do with land. You're standing just against morality. I mean, they were aiming to murder little Jewish children coming to the kindergarten and aiming for them, not accidental. So we're talking about the forces of evil that really most people cannot comprehend.
You are listening to Israel Uncensored on the Land Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com. My guest today is Ari Fold, Israel advocate extraordinaire, international speaker. He got in his car with baked goods from Gush Etzion, headed down to the Gaza periphery, the Gaza border area, delivering goodness and encouragement to those who were under fire. And again, you're listening to this broadcast. By the time you hear this on Monday, on the 4th of June, who knows how many rockets are going to fall today, tonight, tomorrow. The ceasefire is an absolute sham. There's no such thing. There was a ceasefire in 2014, and then they went and kidnapped soldiers and killed soldiers after a ceasefire. So ceasefire is nonsense. So I want to ask you today, if you were in charge or in a position of power, you're definitely in a position of influence, but if you were in a position of power with the Israeli government right now, and, you know, in my opinion, regardless of, you know, how many children weren't hurt. I mean, everyone's damaged psychologically. Thank God those kids weren't hurt physically. But in my opinion, you shouldn't have to wait for kids to be physically hurt. Their intention should be what you use to come up with policy. In other words, they intended to murder children, and based on that intent alone, they should be punished and Israel should act accordingly. What would you do today now with this game of cat and mouse, with them firing rockets at us, Israel justifiably retaliating? What would you do to end, I don't call it a cycle of violence, I call it honestly a cycle of stupidity. What would you do?
So look, first I want to just say that, you know, it was strange. I went down, I didn't know where I was going. I wanted to go to the kindergarten, and then I wanted to go around the different areas, Sharon Negev and to Sderot, and I was actually waiting on my Red Alert, you know, app to find where the missiles were flying, because I was running right there. That's why I wanted to go. I wanted to be with the people who were getting bombed. And it wasn't a death wish, God forbid. I felt a drive to show these people we're with them. Look, the problem with Israel is we're not trying to be victorious. We're trying to fight these like little cat and mouse games. And this is really part of the problem. In other words, ceasefire, that's like we seize and they fire. That's what a ceasefire is. But I asked someone on the TV the other day, I was debating a left wing on TV, and I said, what are you making a ceasefire for? Have they had a change of heart? Are they stopping to want to kill us now? So they stopped the fire. They stopped the missile fire, and they amp up their missiles now for another 5 months or 6 months from now. There's no point. When you make peace with evil, when you make deals with evil, you become evil. And I say this to my own people, and me as an Israeli, the longer we make deals with evil, with some kind of fantasy hope of some kind of ridiculous peace. Again, you know, the first person I used for this is Chamberlain. 1938, when he made the Munich Agreement with Hitler. And he said, I'm bringing peace in our time. And Churchill said, you know, you can't do that. Churchill was a war mongrel and Chamberlain was a peace activist. No, Chamberlain was immoral for making peace with the devil, with evil and the Nazis. And Chamberlain was a smart man who said to him, you had a choice between war and dishonor. You chose dishonor and you will have war. Hindsight 2020. Israel, has to understand, we will go into Gaza again. We will have to take it over, not because we want or don't want. I'm not even getting into that. Bottom line is, we have a terrorist organization which believes in the genocide of the Jewish people, not Zionists. I urge everyone from here to download the Hamas charter in English. They do not talk about Zionists or the 67 lines or the they talk about Jews. So we have a radical genocidal Islamic terrorist organization whose goal is to destroy the Jewish people. There's no deals. A deal is a 5.56 bullet. Now, if there's Arabs who want to live peacefully, we're not talking about them. So the longer we fake these peace deals, unfortunately, the more blood that's going to be spilled on our side.
Unfortunately, I agree with you. It's truly unfortunate, but that's the reality. I want to go back to the actual experience. You've been down there before, and you've had to run from rockets before, and my listeners who have been listening, I think it's, I don't know how long I've been doing this broadcasting, maybe about a decade. No, I spent 3 years working in Sderot, so I know the experience of having 15 seconds, and there have been times where I've been in communities along the border, even closer, in the kibbutzim, where you have literally 5 to 7 seconds, and before you got a duck, and if there's no shelter, you just get on the ground and pray and whatnot. What was it like for you this time when you were down there? Was it scary? Was it, I mean, describe just those actual 15 seconds, and you can see it in the videos of you actually having to run. Describe it for the listeners who, I wish it upon none of our listeners, but if those who have not had that unfortunate experience of having to run for your life with 15 seconds, describe it if you can. Put it into words.
So the truth of the matter is, when I went down, it wasn't fear at all. I was actually proud. I was proud. And the feeling is that I'm no longer in the ghetto. I'm no longer in the concentration camp. We're no longer at the whim of other people in the other nations. The IDF, our men, our people, our women, are down there fighting. And I was proud to be down there. The truth of the matter is that in the area that I was in, I'm not going to give the name of the kibbutz that I was in, but that where the kindergarten was. So there I felt pretty really calm because I figured maybe lightning wouldn't strike the same place twice. Then I traveled to Sderot, and as I was interviewing people in the middle of the street, the polite, you know, calm, Tzeva Adom. So, you know, it's very calm not to get people crazy. And as soon as I heard it, my mental clock went off, and I'm ticking down, and I'm counting, 15, 14, and I ran, and I grabbed it, and I'm screaming, you know, Tzeva, red alert, red alert. We ran into one of these, you know, bunkers by a bus stop. The bus stop's a bunkers, and I'm counting down, and my heart is pounding, and I'm safe, and I'm wondering, I hope everybody, the old, the children, the women, whoever can't, I'm saying women can't run, but those who are not able to, you know, rush, I hope they get in protected areas, and one, and I'm waiting for the explosion. It actually didn't happen at that point. And then I actually found the car where the Iron Dome, it took out the missile right above where I was, and a piece of the Iron Dome fell and completely demolished the car. And I spoke to the driver, you know, and I said to him, what do you think? He goes, ah, you know, and the Israeli kind of like, ah, what is, no big deal. But the point of the matter is I felt that pressure. I wasn't scared, basically, for myself, because I was already protected, but that 15 seconds of counting down between life and death and, you know, destruction, it is terrifying. But at the same time, there's a mixture of pride there that they're not going to get us. We're here. We're strong. But certainly that running, you can hear me screaming on the video on the Ari Full Digital Defense page. I'm screaming, red alert, 15, 14, everyone get in, you know, 15 seconds. That sentence, you know, I've been talking, 15 missiles could have fallen already. So it was certainly, it was that idea of, uh-oh. But it was a mixture of pride there of, we're here. We're strong. They're not going to get us.
Yeah, it's amazing watching the video how calm the residents are. And each one I saw that you interviewed talked about how they're not leaving Sderot. They're not going anywhere. They're used to this, unfortunately, but this is their reality. But, you know, Sderot as a city has flourished over the past decade despite all of this craziness. And in terms of the women, it's not sexist at all. And I can share firsthand that, you know, it's not, you're not saying women are slower. I was in a situation where I was with a woman who was in high heels. And she was running for a shelter, and you said in your head 15, 14, 13. This was about a decade ago, before Iron Dome, before all this, and she literally was not getting to the shelter. Not because she was a woman, I'm not saying that at all. She was in high heels. In high heels, can you imagine having to think, you know what? My point is, can you imagine having to think that, you know, if I wear this type of shoe today, that I could be in danger? I mean, so I understand what you're saying completely. And no, you want to respond
right,
to that?
So the truth of the matter is that there was an elderly woman who it was a woman who actually beat me to the shelter, I have to tell you that, you know, to be honest with you. It was an elderly woman. There's a video of her coming in. She's hysterical because the point when she got in, you know, right at the end of those 15 seconds, and you really don't know where these missiles are going to land, and they're aimed for civilian areas, you know, and it frustrates me forget as an Israeli, as a human being. We have an organization, a terrorist organization that are targeting innocent people. And they're aiming for kindergartners. They're aiming for women and men and children. And some reason you have the world saying, oh, Israel, let's not react too harshly now. And we have people charging the border with the directive from Hamas, like you said, to cut out, the quote was, to cut out the Jewish livers and eat their hearts. And we have snipers. We're not, you know, discriminately shooting. And they're blaming us. You know, it's, you know, what really frustrates me, I want to tell you, Josh, is people say to me, well, how many Israelis died? You know, how many? All right, listen, people. Maybe in your world, maybe in Hamas world, death is a contest. It's not a contest in our world. And so when I have 15 people coming to try to kill my family, if I kill them all before they get to my family, what do you ask? Oh, it's not fair, none of my family were dead? No, they're attacking me. And my message, by the way, to the Hamas is the following. To all the Arabs who are you know, identifying with them, when you start a war and lose, you do not turn into the victim. You don't turn this into a Nakba. When you start a war and lose, you are a loser. And you have no room to whine. Nobody's got to get hurt. Stop starting wars. It's very simple. Stop firing missiles at Israel. I don't have to have people die to make this. We don't have to have equal force. We know we're stronger than you. So stop fighting. Stop starting with us.
I agree. And I would say that more people here in Israel need to identify with the fact that we won the war. Whether you're talking about 48, whether you're talking about 67, 73, we paid a huge price in lives, but we won those wars, and we sometimes forget that, I think, and we have to act accordingly. I'm going to ask you one last question before we let you go, Ari. We are sitting here in Jerusalem. It is a beautiful Sunday morning. The table behind us are children. I hear them singing happy birthday, celebrating. This cafe is packed, and people are in the streets. They're tour buses. It's a bustling summer, almost summer day here, spring day here in Jerusalem, yet an hour away, they are lighting kites on fires and sending them into fields, causing thousands of dollars in damage to the fields, destroying nature down there. They are trying to infiltrate the border as we speak. The rockets, at least four different sirens have gone off in the last 24 hours. How can you explain this dichotomy, and how is it possible that we can be even sitting here? I have a little bit of guilt, I'll be honest with you, sitting here relaxing, enjoying a beautiful springish summer day here in Jerusalem, when an hour away you have a completely different world where children are traumatized, having to run for shelters in 15 seconds or even less. How do you explain it all? I mean, you know, it's been like that for a long time here in Israel. This, you know, we've had problems in the north, so then the north is the front, or in Judea and Samaria, or in Jerusalem, or in Tel Aviv, or in Netanya, or in Haifa. But regardless where it is, there's always a front line. And yet everywhere else in the country seems to be, you know, sometimes I tell my listeners, I think we should just shut down the country. You know, when things like this happen and everyone boycott work and we're going to shut down the entire country until the government acts to take over, to take responsibility, rather, for what's going on. If even one fraction of our population is suffering. What are your thoughts on that? And we'll end with that.
So I want to first talk about the attacks that we're talking, the kite attacks, the starting the fires of the fields. You know, this brings you back to biblical times a little bit when the Philistines were taking the wells of Avram. And instead of using the water, they were plugging them up. They were destroying them. We're talking about fields, right? If they were stealing the agriculture, okay, they're stealers, to destroy them. So it reminds you of, you know, things don't change. As King Solomon said, nothing changes under the sun. So that's in terms of them. In terms of us, again, my grandmother, you know, who was the only one of the only survivors in her family from the Holocaust, our victory is our life. And yes, we're sitting here in Jerusalem, and life is good. Just, you know, 200 yards down back of us was the wall in 1966 where the Jordanians put up. We couldn't sit here. So we're sitting here. We're drinking coffee. And we see I wish the listeners can see this. We're looking at the Tower of David. We're looking at the walls of Jerusalem. So we are blessed to sit here. You know, terrorism, the goal is not to kill people. That's a tool. The goal is to instill fear. They lose. We will not be feared or scared into stopping our lives. And one of the great things about Israel and all the countries, mainly the United States, take from us is when terrorism hits, the goal is to get life back to normal as fast as possible. Clear message to Hamas, the jihad, Islamic jihad, to Fatah, to PLO, to Abu Mazen, anybody out there who thinks he's going to scare us into these things, you will lose. We have been around for 2,000 years. We've faced this before. The Assyrians are gone, the Romans are gone, the Greeks are gone, the Nazis are gone. If you are fighting us, you are simply on the wrong side of history.
There you have it, folks. Ari Fold, Israel advocate, international speaker. You have a lot of clout, I would say, on social media. But what's the best way if people want to learn more, people want to see your videos, get in touch with you? What is the best way to get in touch with Ari Fold these days?
Well, you can certainly follow my page, the Ari Fold Israel Defense page. I'm constantly loading up videos there, both opinion and political pieces, as well as live footage from Israel. My regular is Ari Fold, A-R-I, F like Frank, U, L like London, D like Denmark. It's my regular. And if you want to send me an email, it's arifold@gmail.com. I am taking a tour, hopefully September, October, to the States, the speaking tour. If you want to be in touch, certainly shoot me a line, and I'd love to be in touch with you.
All right, appreciate your time on this beautiful Sunday in Jerusalem. Let's all be safe, and let's hear some good news in the days and weeks ahead here in beautiful Israel.
All right, everyone, God bless. And remember, we're saying our prayers and hopes down to the people in the South, and certainly for the men and women in uniform, God bless the idea of soldiers keeping us safe. And let's pray that God keeps Israel safe and we continue to be victorious over those who want to destroy us.
Amen to that.